Again, for joining today's worship from wherever you are, welcome and Merry Christmas to all of you. As we start, let me pray for us that God will speak to us. Lord, we thank you that you are God who came. You are the Word of God who made yourself known. And Lord, we pray now that through these words, you'll make yourself known. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. If you're a guest with us, once again, thank you so much for joining us. We've been singing, today's Christmas, and we've been singing in Sha Tin Church many Christmas carols over these weeks. We've been doing an Advent series, Songs of Christmas, and we went through different songs of Christmas. We've done O Holy Night, O Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Last week we did Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And now we're going to reach the climax of this series by singing Joy to the World. Joy to the World. Joy to the World is actually the most published Christmas song in North America. It's been published over something like 1,400 American hymnals all around North America. It was published in 1719. But if you're a stickler for rules, you might actually say that this song doesn't belong to this list that we're singing, because Joy to the World, in fact, is not a Christmas song. It's not a Christmas song. It's actually, if you pay attention, it's a paraphrase of the psalm that we read, Psalm 98. If you pay close attention, there's no mention of the nativity. There's no sort of star or the cattle lowing or Mary or a God becoming a human being. It's not there as part of the lyrics. I'll tell you what it is about soon, but let me begin by saying actually that despite how its origin, it's a great Christmas song. It's a great Christmas song because, one, it captures the joy of God who has become a human being, who has come, the joy that has come, and it also captures the joy of God who will come in the future. Joy has come, and the joy is coming. But I think immediately, though, as we sing, one of the reasons why we feel that it captures the Christmas spirit is because it captures Christmas themes. Actually, Christmas themes are all around the song Joy to the World. For example, remember the words of the angels to the shepherds. Remember these, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. I mean, isn't that Joy to the World? I bring you good news that will cause great joy. And what does the angel say right after? A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The Lord is come. The Lord has come. Even the second part, let every heart prepare him room. That almost could be an allusion to the room, you know, that Jesus didn't have to give birth and that he had to give birth in a barn. But the song is a paraphrase of Psalm 98, and that is very clear when you read Psalm 98. It has words like this, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth burst into jubilant song with music, let the seas resound and everything in it, let the rivers clap their hands, and let the mountains sing together for you. It seems appropriate for Christmas. Let everything in the world clap for joy because Christ has come. The theme is joy. And the psalm also commands us to sing. And Christmas is a time of singing. There's so many people, things singing. Mary sang, my soul magnifies the Lord. Zechariah sings, Simeon sings, the angels sing. And now we will sing Joy to the World together. But here's the amazing truth about all this, that we sing for joy not merely because God has become a human being, although that is a wondrous truth, wonderful truth. If we reflect on it, it should make us sing. But we sing because God has become a human being for us. God has become a human being for me and for you, for us. Because the Bible tells us that God has lovingly created the world. But even as he sustains the world, even now, even as we ignore him and even as we rebel against him, we live without reference to him at all, God still loved us. And instead of giving us into our sins, God has come and become a person in order to save us, to make sure that his dwelling place is filled with us, human beings whom he has lovingly created. Phil Ryken is president of a Christian college in the U.S. He tells a story of a time when he was studying at Oxford for his PhD. Let me read this for you. I had done something wrong, something I was deeply ashamed of. As a matter of my conscience before God, I needed to tell Lisa, his wife, what I had done, but I was too ashamed to do it in person, so I wrote her a letter and left it on the shelf and mentioned it on the way out the door. Then I left our flat as fast as I could and went out into the city, too upset to study. Lisa got through about halfway through the letter and started after me. She didn't exactly know where I was going. I was a fast walker, so I had a good head start. Also, she was about 7 months pregnant. But in the providence of God, she found me about a mile away in front of a store on Broad Street. And she wanted me to know right away how much she loved me. So she ran up and gave me a huge hug. Tears were streaming down both of our faces. We made quite a spectacle, especially given how reserved most Brits are. Then she said something I'll never forget. "What? Did you think that I didn't know that you were a sinner?" In that moment, I was confronted with the fresh perspective that I needed. I was accepted without qualifications, forgiven without a question, and loved without a reservation by my best friend. She wanted me to know right away how much she loved me, so she gave me a hug right away. Friends, that's what we're singing when we sing of the joy of Christmas. Christmas is God running to us. Despite what we've done, despite us running away, him coming after us and giving us a hug and telling us how much we are loved by him, how much we're wanted, and through what the baby did as he grew up and he died and rose again, what he did, that whoever comes to him are accepted without qualification, forgiven without a question, and loved without reservation. But the earth has to receive her king. Every heart needs to prepare a room for him, because Christ fills the whole universe, but he will not fill your heart unless you invite him in, because he made us to love us. And unless we respond to him, he will not come to our hearts. So friends, if you haven't done that yet, today, this Christmas, I hope you'll pray the prayer. I hope you'll ask God to come into your life, into your heart, and be your Lord. And if you have done that already, I hope you'll sing. Sing knowing how loved you are, that God has created you to love you, to be in relationship with you, and that he has come to chase after you. That's what Christmas is about. But as I've said, "Joy to the World" is not written as a Christmas song. It's a rephrasing of Psalm 98, and Psalm 98 is nothing about Christmas, but it is about God's salvation. But the person who wrote "Joy to the World," Isaac Watts, when he thought of God's salvation, he didn't immediately think of the first coming. He actually thought of the second coming, when Jesus will come back. And "Joy to the World" is about the second coming, when he will come again. We know that clearly enough, because at first, "Joy to the World" didn't have that title. Its name was "Messiah's Coming Kingdom." Messiah's Coming Kingdom. But the clues are there throughout the song as well. In the very first verse, "The joy to the world, the Lord is come." Not "Lord has come," but "Lord is coming. Prepare a room for him." He is coming, he is saying. But the most clear clue, clearest clues are found in verse 3. Third verse, "No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found." the curses, sin, and sorrow still fill the world. When Jesus came for the first time, he didn't get rid of all of that, not yet, but he will when he comes again in glory in his second coming. When he comes again, this will happen, and we read that in Revelations chapter 21, 1 through 5. This is Revelation verse 3, 21 verse 3. Behold, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. At the end of history, God will come and dwell with us. 21 verse 4, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. When he comes again, he will get rid of every evil thing in this world. He will. Because here's the shocking thing about all of this. You know, when we often talk about going to heaven, but the Bible actually doesn't talk about going to heaven. Not really. When the Bible opens up its first pages, where is God? Amongst people, with Adam and Eve walking in the garden. At the end of history, God is coming down. God will come down here on earth, in the renewed earth, and he will live here. He will make his dwelling place here on earth. Listen again, verse 21:3. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. Friends, here's the shocking thing. When God took on flesh in Jesus Christ, he wasn't putting on a costume to put away after a few hours, few years. God became flesh to be with us. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is human being, and he will be a human being forever. That's how much he is committed to loving us, to being with us. And when he comes again, he will live in this world, in the renewed world, forever. A difference is when he comes again in glory, he will make the whole world a fitting place for him and for us forever. It's the difference between, this is Hong Kong, it's the difference between renting and buying. When you're renting, you don't do all the renovation. When he comes again, it's like buying. Whole place will be changed. Whole place will be filled with his glory, and we will live there forever. So the song ends with verse 4, with these remarkable words. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. The present world is filled with evil and suffering, but when he comes again, he will rule in grace and truth. And not only that, when we look at the world, the nations are not proving his glory. But when in the future, it will. Everywhere you look, the nations will prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. That world is coming. Christians now live in between these two joys. Joy, the first joy, knowing that we are loved, that we are his bride, that we are sought after, we're claimed by our God. And we live with the knowledge of the second coming, that when he comes back again, the world that we long for, the world that our hearts long for, we want to live in that world where there is no suffering and death, that world is coming. So in between these two comings, then knowing these two great joys, we rejoice and we sing on Christmas Day and every day of our lives. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you so much that on this Christmas Day that you remind us that we are sought after, that we are your people whom you cherish and you love. And Lord, we pray for those of us who don't yet know you, that they would welcome you, that all of us who know you would continue to sing with joy. And we pray that whatever we're going through, even today, that you would lift our eyes up to see the future that is coming because you love us. And Lord, we pray that that will fill our hearts with joy and that we will sing today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.